It is over. Never mind.
Welcome back to Open Language. I'm Diana.
And I'm Adam.
So today we are going to not talk about any more Christmas-related, holiday-related things.
Right.
We're going to talk about something a bit more romantic.
That's right. So today we have an intermediate lesson talking about maybe the two, sometimes one, I guess I've seen it both as two words and one word, maybe the most romantic word or two words in the English language.
Soulmate.
Okay, so we're going to break today's lesson up into two parts, and hopefully in those two parts, you will have a better understanding of what a soulmate is, as well as, you know, some really great vocabulary that you can use to talk about your soulmate.
All right, let's go ahead and listen to the first five things on that list.
All right.
Number one, when you found your soulmate, you just know it. Something deep inside tells you this is the perfect one for you. Number two, you can tell what your other half is thinking even when it's not verbally expressed. Number three, you feel their emotions, sadness, anxiety, and stress. You also share in each other's joy and happiness. Number four, you look for the virtues in their flaws. It's the task of each person to always seek the good, even when things don't seem that way. Number five, you share the same life goals. You may have a different way of reaching those goals, but you both want the same end result. All right, now the first one on the list, I think, is a bit cliche.
Okay.
However, everyone who has found their soulmate always says this.
Right, you just know it. When you found it, you just know it. Okay, so if anybody is still struggling with this idea of soulmate, it's just like your true love.
Yeah, the one and only.
The one and only. And actually, when we get to number two, it really helps to kind of explain what soulmate is, right?
So you can tell what your other half is thinking even when it's not verbally expressed.
Okay, so this is kind of like the original idea of soulmate. That somewhere along the way, for whatever reason, you know, the soul was split in two.
Right.
You got half of it. And that really special other person got the other half.
Right. So the other half we use to describe, you know, your romantic partner, your husband or your wife, boyfriend or girlfriend.
Right.
And, you know, it's also significant other.
Right. But we do have another phrase we use, better half.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
I like this one, too. Guys, this is something that you can say, you know, about your wife, your girlfriend, probably your wife.
Yeah.
But ladies don't really say this, right?
I actually never really hear it come from a woman.
Right. It's usually a guy describing his wife. This is my better half. Where's your better half?
Right. Now, verbally here, some of you might be confused because there's the word verb in it, but it really doesn't have to do with verbs.
Right.
What it means is that you're saying it.
Right.
Orally.
You're using your mouth to say it.
Right. It's spoken.
It's spoken. Exactly.
All right. So the next one is you feel their emotions.
Oh, okay. So feelings.
Feelings, right. One thing to note here is that it's not the same thing as mood.
Okay. What's the difference?
So a mood is a much shorter period, right? It's like, oh, I'm in a good mood.
Good mood,
or
yeah.
I'm in a bad mood, you know, or what mood are you in?
Right, right. Because I'm really only in a few moods, tired, hungry,
yeah.
Or neither tired nor hungry, which is a good mood.
Right, that's good. And whereas emotions, you're always going to be going through emotions, right? So emotions are a bit more like the background. They're always going to be there. Moods are like, they come and go.
They come and go. Okay, so we talk about a few different emotions here. Sadness, Anxiety. Ooh, that's a good one.
Anxiety. Not so great, actually. No. It's like someone who's constantly worried about the future.
Right,
that's
exactly.
What I think of.
Oh, wait, do we know? Wait, blah, blah, blah. And maybe even the future isn't like the real future. It's you're just worried about, you know, oh, what if everybody discovers today that I can't actually do my job.
Right. So it's like, yeah, always worrying. Mm. Also includes nervousness.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, I think like sometimes I'm nervous. Like if I'm going to go give a speech,
yeah,
I will be nervous.
Exactly.
But I won't be anxious.
Mm-hmm. Well, you'll be anxious about giving the speech, but you're not like an anxious person in general.
In general. If anybody knows the very famous director Woody Allen, all of his characters are the same character, just really anxious, you know, New York City guy.
Right. So I really like the next one. Look for the virtues in their flaws.
Yeah, it's really well written, right? Because virtue and flaw are pretty much, or they can be understood anyway, as opposites.
Right. One is a good quality and one is a bad quality.
Okay, so virtue, of course, being the good quality.
Mm-hmm,
the
yes.
virtues.
Of, you know, patience.
Patience, honesty.
Mm-hmm. Kindness.
Kindness. I mean, the list goes on.
Right.
Now, flaws?
Flaws, you know, probably not keeping your promises, criticizing people.
Oh, right.
Or not being able to take criticism.
Mm. But flaws can also be like physical, right?
Yes. So imperfections.
Exactly. Although usually when we think about our own flaws, we think that they're like the worst thing in the world and other people probably don't see them.
Yeah, that's true. So I think a good thing that you brought up is that it can both describe the physical, like, you know, your body versus your personality. So a little bit more abstract.
Right. Exactly. You could also use flaw here as an adjective.
Yes.
For example, flawed reasoning.
Flawed logic.
Flawed logic. Exactly.
Yeah. We could also use it to describe physical things.
Okay.
However, I think most of the time it's using flawless.
Ah, like a flawless diamond.
Yeah.
There are no flaws on this diamond.
Exactly. It's perfect.
It's perfect. Exactly.
But you can also use flawless to describe non-physical things. Mm. For example, you know, Adam, you just gave a flawless performance.
Thank you. I'll be here all week. Tip your bartenders.
So the clip continues to say that it's the task of each person to always seek the good.
Okay, so look for.
Look for, yes.
But it's deeper than look for, right?
Yeah, because if say you misplaced your phone somewhere, you wouldn't say, I'm seeking my phone.
Hello, I'm seeking my phone.
Right. So usually you use this word to describe something that's a little bit more abstract.
Right. I'm seeking happiness. I'm seeking, you know, the true meaning of life.
Right. Or scientists are always seeking the cure for cancer.
Right. Exactly. Maybe if my performance this time is a little flawed, maybe Jenny will fire me and I might have to, you know, seek employment.
Okay. Right. So job seekers.
Job seeker.
Seeking a job. Right. We could also use that. And the last one on this list is that you share the same life goals.
Okay, so you may have a different way of reaching those goals, but you both want the same end result.
So basically, you're on the same page.
You're on the same page, that's right.
All right, so that's it for part one. Let's go ahead and listen to the next five on the list.
Let's go.
Number six, you're not afraid of having honest conversations. They can be challenging, but if you communicate honestly, you can always work things out. Number 7. You are not threatened by the desire for alone time. You value each other's need for independence. Number 8. You respect their differences and opinions. There is a deep level of mutual admiration. You listen to and honor the differences. Number 9. You know how to apologize. You realize that your actions or words might cause harm. Even if you feel justified in your point of view, if your partner was hurt by it, you can apologize for the harm caused. Number 10. You motivate each other to become better versions of yourselves. Together, you push beyond comfort zones to discover your better self. Alright, so number 6 here is that you're not afraid of having honest conversations.
Mm.
They can be challenging, but if you communicate honestly, you can always work things out.
Okay, so we can work it out. We can solve whatever problem we have.
Mm, yes. We could also say iron things out.
Iron it out. Yeah, smooth.
Smooth it, yes. And number 7 here, you are not threatened by the desire for alone time.
Okay, so threatened. Threatened is when you are, like, under attack.
Yes.
Or maybe you feel you're under attack.
Mm-hmm, right. Because when you threaten someone, so when you are the one doing the threatening, you are basically intending to cause some kind of a harm.
Right. You want to take something from them, or hurt them in some way.
Right.
A country can threaten another country.
With war.
With war. A bully can, you know, threaten a kid at school.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea here, I think, is more about what we said at the beginning. You just feel threatened.
Right.
There doesn't have to be a genuine threat.
Yeah, so you feel vulnerable.
Mm.
You feel unsafe, even though there's not something, like, physically that's going to hurt you.
Right. Now, so the thing that this person might feel threatened by here is their partner's desire for alone time.
Mm,
so,
yes.
Like, a wish or a... They really want to be alone.
Yeah, you really desire something.
Desire something here. And now, alone time is kind of a great phrase just by itself.
Yeah.
We all need some alone time. Kind of hard to find alone time in China.
I agree.
A little bit. Also, sometimes when we as Westerners, you know, like, seek alone time, people think that we're kind of crazy.
Right.
Alone.
Yeah. Alone. You want to be by yourself?
You want to be by yourself. Like, okay, all right, weirdo. A monk or something.
Right. So I think the important thing to point out here is that alone is different from lonely.
Right. Yes, exactly. Lonely is you are alone and you are sad because you are alone.
Yeah. Now, alone just means by yourself.
I am one person.
Yeah, usually by choice.
Mm, exactly.
So alone time is when you want to be by yourself and do what it is that you want to do alone.
Exactly.
So you value each other's need for independence.
Okay, so you value something. You guys probably know value as, a noun.
Mm.
What is the value?
Well, yeah, worth.
What is the worth? So here you're just putting a value or a worth on something.
Mm-hmm. Right, and so if you value something, you see it as important.
Yeah, valuable.
Yeah. All right, number 8, I think, is really good. You respect their differences and opinions.
Mm, okay.
There is a deep level of mutual admiration.
Okay, mutual admiration. So two things going on here. Mutual, back and forth.
Yeah, it means you and I think the same about each other.
Okay.
So I think really commonly it's like mutual agreements,
mutual
decision.
Mutual assistance.
Right, or mutual breakup.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Like, you both wanted it. Mm. It wasn't one-sided.
Okay, so that's the one main point here about mutual is, you know, two people are benefiting.
Yeah, or they're agreeing.
Or they're agreeing, mm-hmm. Exactly. Okay, so admiration then.
Admiration is kind of like respect, but it also includes approval.
Ah, okay. So some of you guys might even see the root of another word here, admire.
Yes, admire.
I admire you. I have admiration for you.
Right, exactly. So admiration, I would say, is a little bit fancier for respect.
Right, exactly. And speaking of another word for respect,
mm-hmm.
we also have honor here.
Right, this is a triple respect sentence.
There's a lot of respect here.
But we wanted to switch out respect for some other synonyms that work a little bit better.
Okay, so here we say honor the differences. Of course, we could say respect the differences.
Yes.
But honor here, I feel like it's a certain kind of respect. It's a very, very deep level of respect.
Right. So you acknowledge that the differences exist and you respect them even though they are different.
Right.
So how else could we use honor?
Well, we could use honor in the sense of fulfill.
Okay.
Like for example, if you and I write a contract,
and
then in the contract, you know, Adam will do this, Diana will do that, and then one of us doesn't do what we're supposed to do.
Right. So then that means one of us is not honoring the contract.
Right. Exactly.
Now, I think another one that's very commonly used is something like, it's an honor to be here.
Okay. It's a great honor to be here.
Right.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
It's a privilege.
It's a privilege. Exactly. So lots of stuff there about honor. If I could just add one more thing, honor thy father and thy mother.
Okay, so respect.
Respect your parents.
Yeah.
And before you guys go asking what thy means, just mean it's a very old word for your.
Okay. So what about number nine?
Okay, number nine, you know how to apologize.
Okay, fancy for saying sorry.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's apologize is, you don't actually have to say the word sorry.
Yeah, that's
true. I mean, even a lot of people will say like, I'm sorry you feel that way.
I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry.
Yeah, sorry, not sorry. Those are not apologies,
right?
You're using that word sorry, but you're not actually apologizing.
So I guess along the same lines of that, we could say that if you are apologizing, you acknowledge what you did wrong.
Wrong, yeah.
And then you kind of just say that you're sorry for having that other person feel the way they did, like they felt hurt
right.
or something.
I wronged you
yeah.
in some way. And speaking of wrong and right, our next word is actually, I mean, it's a great word. That also relates to, you know, being wronged, wronging.
Right. So justified.
Justified. Okay. So here we have an adjective, justified, meaning that I feel I am not doing wrong.
Right. You feel correct.
I am correct.
Yes.
I am just.
Mm-hmm.
I am doing the correct, the just, the right thing.
Mm-hmm. But I think one thing to note here is that we don't usually use justified for things that most people agree are good.
Right.
It's usually used when there's a little bit of conflict or controversy, and it can be seen as both good or bad.
Right, exactly. Like, for example, a war.
Mm.
You are killing the quote-unquote bad guys.
Right.
It's pretty easy to, you know, justify that.
However, war, of course, is never a great thing. There's a lot of killing going on. So, you know, how do you justify war?
Right, exactly. Now, we could maybe find, you know, an example that's not so bloody. You could say something like, you know, maybe, oh, I'm kind of old here, but we used to steal cable TV.
Oh, really?
You just kind of run a cable from, you know, one apartment to the other.
Mm-hmm.
And you can justify that by thinking like, well, you know, I'm a poor student.
Mm-hmm.
This company is very, very rich. Very easy to justify stealing.
Right. Or for example, you came home really late and your parents or your spouse is saying, well, why did you come home so late? Can you justify yourself?
And then I would say, I don't need to justify myself to you or anybody.
Right.
Actually, you know, some people really do feel that way. Like they really don't feel the need to justify themselves to anybody for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Those people probably will not find their soulmate. Just saying.
All right, so point of view here, I think, is just another way to say opinion
yeah.
or belief.
Yeah, exactly. Or you could even think about it as, you know, like your corner or position, like where you are looking from.
Right, where you stand.
Where you stand, exactly.
All right, and last but not least, you motivate each other to become better versions of yourselves.
Okay, so you motivate, you encourage,
you
push.
Yeah, you push.
You push. A good push. A good push.
Or maybe we could also say inspire.
Inspire. Sure, exactly. So you inspire what? Well, the other person to become a better version of themselves.
Right. So version is basically a form or addition of something.
Right. Like addition, when addition comes to mind, okay, guys, this is not addition.
Addition.
I usually think about books.
Yeah,
right. Books. This is the like the next edition of the book. It just means they changed something.
Yeah, yeah.
There's something new in it. Like when we were in primary school, all of our books were really old.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have the new edition.
Right. The new edition is never going to be called a version because it's the original.
Right. Exactly. Now, version I usually think about like in terms of software.
Yeah, like, you know, your operating system.
Operating system, exactly. The other thing I think of is songs.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because whenever somebody comes, you know, comes out with a new version of a song, it's usually a new singer. Maybe it's in a different language.
Yeah.
Like, for example, earlier in this list, we have a phrase, work things out.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Beatles song called We Can Work It Out.
Okay.
I love the Beatles, but I do not like that song. But then another artist named Stevie Wonder did a version of that song, which is amazing.
Okay, so it's a better version.
It's a better version. So some people say the original version is always better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe sometimes, but in this case, no way.
So in English, we could say that you want to become a better version of yourself.
Mm.
I know in Chinese, you wouldn't say like, you know, a better...
Say how to ban ban.
Ban ban. So, but just remember that in English, you can use version to describe, you know, a person.
Right. Okay, and the last thing on our list is something I am very familiar with. This idea of a comfort zone.
Yes. So what you are comfortable doing.
Right. So my comfort zone is very, 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 very small. I, you know, eat the same things every day. I drink the same cup of coffee every day.
Mm.
And I don't like to go outside of that comfort zone.
Exactly. But if you push beyond your comfort zone, you might discover your better self.
You might. Or you might discover failure. Sadness, loneliness.
Right. But, you know, it's always good to try new things.
It is. It really is, guys. Okay, so why don't we try listening to the whole list all the way through from top to bottom?
All right. Number one, when you found your soulmate, you just know it. Something deep inside tells you this is the perfect one for you. Number two, you can tell what your other half is thinking even when it's not verbally expressed. Number three, you feel their emotions, sadness, anxiety, and stress. You also share in each other's joy and happiness. Number four, you look for the virtues in their flaws. It's the task of each person to always seek the good, even when things don't seem that way. Number five, you share the same life goals. You may have a different way of reaching those goals, but you both want the same end result. Number six, you're not afraid of having honest conversations. They can be challenging, but if you communicate honestly, you can always work things out. Number seven, you are not threatened by the desire for alone time. You value each other's need for independence. Number eight, you respect their differences and opinions. There is a deep level of mutual admiration. You listen to and honor the differences. Number nine, you know how to apologize. You realize that your actions or words might cause harm. Even if you feel justified in your point of view, if your partner was hurt by it, you can apologize for the harm caused. Number 10. You motivate each other to become better versions of yourselves. Together, you push beyond comfort zones to discover your better self.
Okay, Diana, we've spent a good few minutes now talking about soulmates.
Mm-hmm.
What is your take on soulmates? Is there anything in this list specifically that speaks to you?
So about soulmates, the idea that it's just one person, you know, out of the billions of people that are on this planet
right.
is something I don't exactly agree with.
Mm.
I think the most important is timing.
Sure, exact. And location
and blah, blah, blah.
Okay, so putting that aside just for one second.
Mm-hmm.
What about this list?
Because
this could also, like, just apply to your partner or your spouse, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, for example, the one that speaks to me is the respecting differences and opinions.
Mm, yeah, that's a really good one. Because, of course, you're not going to be the same person, right?
Mm.
Most people don't date the exact copy of themselves.
Right.
And so, yeah, it is very important to respect differences and opinions.
Is there another one on here, though, that you think speaks to you more clearly, more...
So I think the one that speaks most to me is probably number 9.
Ooh.
Knowing how to apologize.
Oh, yeah.
But it does tie in very nicely with yours because usually you are apologizing for differences,
right?
In opinion or belief.
Mm.
But I think it's important to know how to apologize because you're always going to have fights here and there, right?
Exactly, exactly.
So got to know how to make up.
I mean, when I was young, I refused to apologize. Just refused to. Because, you know, pride, basically.
Yeah.
Too much pride. Why would I apologize? Why would I apologize?
Yeah.
So, no, now this version of myself couldn't agree more. The next version, you know, 4.0 or whatever that's coming, maybe they will, you know, take away that apology function.
Oh, no.
But who knows? Anyway, guys, we want to know what you think about soulmates.
Right. Do you think there is that one person out there for you? Or do you think it really depends on the circumstance?
And is there a specific point we talked about today that, you know, you really, really believe in?
Yeah, that really speaks to you.
Really speaks to you. We always want to hear your comments and your questions, and we'll see you next time.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
Never mind.